initial sermon. Remember his sermon about living stones? Some of you have heard it, I just read it. But the living stone thing. The pillar people that hold up the church. Why don't you join me in prayer? God, we've heard your holy word. We ask that you speak through your word. Speak through me and speak to our hearts. Speak with power, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you notice the title? First Titus, the title is a rerun. I remember reading a story, the preacher's story, so I don't know if it was true. And in this story, it talks about a young pastor who was very gifted and won preaching prizes at a seminary. And this PNC, this pastoral nominating committee or search committee, they got him to come to their church. Now, have you ever been on a PNC on a pastoral search committee? Raise your hand. I could have identified a few of you because you look familiar. One of the fears you have is if the people like who you choose, then you feel pretty good. And if you don't feel quite as good. So they got this pastor. And this first Sunday on the job, so to speak, he began to preach, and he spoke on John 13:34, where Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just like I have loved you." And he was most eloquent and powerful and passionate and clear. And the PNC Research Committee said, "Yes," quietly though. And people would come up to him and say, "Well, you picked just the right person." And they'd say, "Thank you." Well, the second Sunday, the pastor got up and he announced, "I'm going to preach on John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." When the service was over, the people were saying, "Didn't he preach on that last week?" Fortunately, there were enough people that didn't pay rapt attention. And they were unsure. And then there's also people, you ever notice there are people who comment on anything, regardless whether they know about it or not? None of those are here. And so they said, "Well, didn't you see the new finesses and the refining of it?" And they said, "Well, yes, it was very good." And the PNC, the Pastoral Search Committee, went. The third week came, and he said, "I'm going to preach on John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." He was eloquent, perhaps even more passionate than the first two times. But by this time, everybody knew he was preaching the same sermon. So the PNC, the Pastoral Search Committee, immediately following worship, as soon as the people were out, they said, "Pastor, you're preaching the same sermon." said, yes, I know. And he said, why? Well, I was waiting for you to love one another. And I thought I'd just keep preaching it until you did. Now, that's one reason for a rerun. But actually, you have been very good on the subject of communication. But occasionally, we start to fall back. It's sort of like New Year's Eve resolutions or day resolutions. We don't always follow through for 5.5 years. And I preached a sermon I'm about to give to you about 5 years ago. Some of you are new. You wouldn't even have known if I hadn't told you. When I gave the sermon first, it was in desperation to get a church to communicate with me. Then I went to another church some years later, and I gave it, or similar to it. I probably don't do anything the same way twice. The strongest critic I had in the church, she came up to me and she said, you should preach that every year. Now, one of the things I've learned as a pastor, your critics in your church, they're kind of like quality control. If you do anything wrong, they really want to share it with you. But she was saying I did something right. So I would do this every couple of years, and now it's 5 years since I preached this sermon. It would have been more fun if I just slipped it on you and see if any of you noticed. But I wasn't sure I could handle if you hadn't noticed. Now, the sermon title this morning is Breaker, Breaker. This is Squeaking Deacon, Deacon 10-4, with a 10-44. Now, you're probably wondering where that comes, particularly the young ones. You think, on the internet, you came up with all these weird initials and phrases, L-O-I. CBs were radios, like the truckers had, before the phone things. Before these, all of you shut yourself. It just reminded me I hadn't. So, I was thinking to do this sermon. The first time I did it, I went to a guy who was really into this CB talk, and I said, give me a handle. A handle is your name. And I thought he would come up with some powerful name, like Dynamic Deacon, Powerful Preacher. And he thought for a while, and he said, I know your name. CB name, Squeaking Deacon. So the Squeaking Deacon is here. Now, by the way, this guy that was doing some work in my home gave me this handle. I told his pastor, who was a friend of mine, a big German guy, I said, you're a member, give me a handle, Squeaking Deacon. And he thought that was really funny. Now, I didn't, but the guy who gave me the handle kept saying to his pastor, we should trade pulpits and have him do this Squeaking Deacon sermon. So he came to my church, and I went to his, and I thought the least I could do was to give the German pastor a handle. So I announced to the whole congregation he was their German shepherd. I thought that was really funny, even if he didn't. Now, seeking 10-4 is to seek clear communication, and 10-44 is to acknowledge that you have clear communication. So, in essence, I said, my name is Dave Blodgett with a message for you. And my message is that I'm seeking clear communication. As we look at this passage, it's important to realize in 1 Thessalonians 5:10, it says that Jesus died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Communications is about living together in Christ for the Christian. How do we communicate in the Lord? Part of it is to take seriously the new commandment that I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. In 1 Corinthians 14, which is the great communication chapter of Scripture, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is that which God gives us to edify or to serve or to build up the body of Christ. And that's important. And so as we look at this, we want to look at ways that we serve together to lift each other up. In the third verse, it says, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men and women for their strengthening. We have a narrow-minded view of prophecy. Prophecy is most often the first thing that comes to your mind is that this person's going to tell me the future. Prophecy in the biblical context may include that, but it's more sharing the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the Word of God for you, as you take it seriously, creates a future for you. But you see the difference? The Word of God calls me to a pathway that is best for me. When we do that, that's prophesying. It's sharing the Word of God in a way that blesses the future in the body of Christ. So whoever prophesies speaks for men and women for their strengthening. The word strengthening, in the Greek, Greek is covered with word pictures. And the word picture behind that word is to build, literally to build a home. To build a home. We talk a great deal about here, about being a place where people can come home to the love of God. So we're seeking to build a home. And then it goes on to say, for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Now, encouragement means to come alongside, to let someone know when they're doing it right. Principally, encouragement is letting them know when they do it right. And comfort or consolation is letting them know when they're doing it wrong. Generally speaking, it's a great deal easier to come alongside and tell people when they're doing something right. People are radically more accepting of that. Now, this communication is how we love one another. Can you love the people that God has put into your lives without communicating to them? When I was first married, I remember our first breakfast, I shared this with you before, My wife prepared breakfast. It's a long time ago. I took out my newspaper and began to read it. I even talked to her. Well, thanks, dear. This is a wonderful meal. She consoled me, or comforted me, by telling me that I could read the newspaper at a later date. Dear, listening and communicating to one another is looking at one another. It's listening at one another. It's communicating that we have come alongside one another. And we have to do that. If you see someone doing right, if you don't encourage them, you miss a chance to be part of God's message to them. Now, I've actually been in churches, this will totally shock you. I've been in churches where they're much more readily to console. Tell people where they did something wrong and where they did something right. But God calls us to come alongside and communicate. And if we don't, we frustrate people. On the consoling or comfort, it says in the NIV, it is to speak closely, to speak tenderly or softly. When somebody does something that hurts us and they have made an impact in a negative way in their life, we softly, kindly tell them how they hurt us. Sometimes. Share both sides. Now, in the context of communication, that applies to your pastor. I seek to encourage you where you do something right and to console you when you do something wrong. And I've got a great deal of communication lessons as a gift from my wife. I remember one of the first meals she prepared for me was some sort of spicy sausage, which I sort of like now. But I communicated, oh, how wonderful. And I said, I bet this would go well with some mustard. I covered the whole sausage with mustard. A mustard that I like. They made believe I was eating mustard. This did not go unnoticed. But she said, you have to tell me if you don't like something. And I said, well, it was really good. She said, no, you have to tell me. So eventually, I told her I didn't like her sausage. That saved a great deal of mustard. But what we were doing was learning how to communicate so that we could work together and appreciate each other and doing it. I could give you a number of examples that rather ended in good communication, ended in silence. Silence is not bad unless it's a refusal to communicate. And we as a body of Christ, we have to do that communicating. We have to tell somebody when they do something well. We have to kindly tell them when they do something wrong or they hurt us. us from the body of Christ because we're trying to build a home. Those of us who have families and are in homes know that this is a challenge not simply limited to the church. As it goes on in this passage, it speaks of ways that we communicate. It says, unless I bring you some revelation, we seek, as a pastor, I seek to try to uncover the mind of God in the passage so you'll understand it. Or knowledge. I want you to know what God wants us to know. What prophecy, as I said, to speak the word of God, the word of God, or a word of instruction, which would be essentially the scripture and how it's applied. Sometimes, in an effort to be kind or in an effort to be unkind, we fail to be clear. In Corinthians, it says, even in the case of lifeless things that make sound, such as a flute or a harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the note? I read the story of a pastor, a husband and wife. A husband stayed home. The wife went to church. When the wife got back, he asked, "What did the preacher preach about?" And she said, "I don't know. He never said." What we're seeking to do is preach the word of God, which doesn't always tell us what we want to hear, but it tells us what we need to hear. And I invite that from you. And then in Corinthians 14, it says, again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? Now, did you see the cover? There's a trumpeter on the cover, a bugler, and he's probably sounding charged, so he could be sounding retreat. Judging by the way it looks, it looks like he's sounding charged. When that happens, it gives clarity to command. In the old days, in the heat of battle, but they didn't have all the communication things. I could pick up my cell phone and say, Third Cavalry over there. So aside from sending messengers like us, there would be a bugler who would sound commands of battle and the people would respond. It gave clarity to the direction that they sought to go. A lack of clarity means a lack of direction and a failure to end up where we need to be. I'm going to look at that a couple of ways. I often say, if the phone doesn't ring, I won't answer. If you're aware of a need, or someone else in the congregation of yours, or of yourself, I need to know that so I can respond to it. And every once in a while, someone will be in the hospital, and they come out, and someone will say, "Well, why didn't you visit them? You know why I didn't visit them? So I didn't know they were in." And sometimes people want it private, and that's fine. That's through silence is a good way of conveying an order to visit. Or if there's a need, if someone loses a loved one, or if someone's struggling, if you communicate the need, or even if you're friendly with them, communicate the need to me, I will make an effort to go to them. Not in a way that knocks the door down, but it's available in case they want to talk about it. I would rather be phoned because at least if I'm called 10 times, I know it happened. If I'm not called at all, it's hard to respond. Occasionally, the Lord will just lead me to do something and we'll cover that base. But the point is, we have to communicate. Now, by the way, when you are there for me, and he goes on to respond, and therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you're doing, if you are aware of the need, at the least begin praying for that person. You don't need me to pray for that person, though I certainly will. So begin praying and call myself. Begin praying, but send them a note, call them, do whatever you can to encourage or be a part of it, but let me know. If someone or you gets upset about something I do, I appreciate you knowing it. You're telling me. But sometimes people are afraid to tell me they're upset with something because they want me mad. The kind of irony of that is it's okay for them to be mad. Now, if we're in disagreement, it's not so much that I'll suddenly change and be in agreement, but in the sharing of communication, maybe I will understand from where you come. But if I understand where you're coming from, it will at least make me have a sense of where you are and an appreciation for what you're going through. Maybe it won't change what I do, but it might change the way I do it. And it might even change what I do. I'm a Norwegian. And as I've said to you before, you can always tell a Norwegian, you just can't tell them much. So maybe I will change, and maybe I won't, but I will listen. I will seek to understand, and more importantly, I will seek God's understanding. And we're called to be this. Now I ask you, brothers, in Thessalonians, it says to respect or acknowledge those who are hard among you. Once again, we're working together. And we respect the task that we're called to. We respect the God who calls us. I work at that. And when we succeed at that, if you sense that I'm not perceiving what God is trying to say in something or in a message, you are sharing that with me, enables me to take that to God. And right or wrong, you or I, God will get it right. As we do this, it says to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, who care for you in the Lord. We create a partnership of caring in which a home is built. Now, there's a great deal more that could be said, but one of the things that sometimes you communicate with me is if I go too long. In honor of that, I'm only going a little long. I try, perhaps trying, but know this, we cannot be a body of Christ if we do not communicate with each other, and not just with me, but with each other, if we do not encourage each other, if we do not console each other. Now, taking a review after almost 5.5 years, this has been a wonderful congregation to communicate with. And you've been very encouraging and a little bit consoling. But we have sought God together. And as we do this, continue to listen for the sound of Israel's trumpet, for the horn of salvation that calls us to not only make this a home of God, but to invite all those who need the love of God to be a part of us. Thank you for your communication and for listening and for the years ahead. I read a brief passage of Scripture from Thessalonians, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, and encourage the disheartened or timid. Help the weak. Be patient